morning. Today is Friday, September the 16th, 275th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is our Arcata City Manager, Karen Diemer. Good morning.
Good morning.
We got a couple of different things to kick around in Arcata. No. To kick around about Arcata. There we go. Don't want the rumors to start prematurely. Our quote this morning. Let's see. Oh, these got in the Proverbs section. That's not a quote. Ah, okay. Albert Camus. Not a big fan of his. I got your eyebrows to raise up, though, didn't I?
You definitely got a new book of quotes.
Yeah. I shall tell you a great secret. Don't wait for the last judgment. It takes place every day.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, that is something to consider, isn't it?
I think rather appropriate in the political season.
Yeah, and the non-political and the business and a weekend, right?
True.
Oh. Oh, boy, you're really not going to know where I'm going with this one when I get to it. Mike Downey was on comment this morning. I don't know if you heard him. He was talking about the new tank that they bought. It's not a tank, but the equivalent of the tank because of some
new vehicle.
The changing dynamics of the criminal action scene, if you will, in Humboldt County over the last little bit. Mm-hmm. Are there things that at the city level you guys have to anticipate, deal with, fund, discuss, tabletop exercise that most folks wouldn't have thought that you need to or that you didn't have to 10 or 15 years ago?
There's a lot of things that we need to discuss. There are things that we are tabletop exercising that you would hope we wouldn't have to, but we do tabletop, and we are looking at even a more kind of full-blown exercise on what we call mass casualty incidences. So if something were to happen at the university or the high school or, you know, one of these sort of mass shootings that seem to be more prevalent in our nation at this point. So we have redone a policy on that and working cooperatively with the fire department and with the highway patrol and the university on some tabletop exercise around that particular topic. We're also doing a lot of discussion and training in workplace violence, and I think that's throughout the entire county. There is a lot of even good just short YouTube videos that you can bring in to your place of business to talk about what are the best strategies should something happen in your place of business.
Have there been any situations of workplace violence? Oh, somebody getting mad, maybe throwing paper on the floor. I mean, depending
that's
on,
every day, huh?
Yeah. Just depending on, you know, what the degree of severity is.
We haven't had to respond to anything serious, you know, within the last at least couple of years.
During the Diemer regime?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, but we're knocking on a lot of wood then.
Oh, well, we'll just kind of leave it there. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Karen, the legacy Diemer. Yeah.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, the concept of workplace violence or some of these other, you know, a mass casualty shooting in schools, all these types of things that are, they're part of what the society is dealing with now. As a city's role, because of the limited dollars that you've got, is it always going to be reactionary to a situation? I mean, even if, let's say your comp on campus starts getting word of something nobody's ever heard of before, whatever it happens to be. Do you have the staff? Do you have the ability to stop something before it happens? Or is it as it's happening, you try to limit the liability?
Well, I think we still want to believe that we do stop incidences from happening every day, whether they're small and certainly hopefully if they are large. And I think we've have several cases that would point to that, being able to head something off before it became serious. But I think it comes back a little bit to what we were talking about last month, which is having some community discussions around some of our mental health issues, some of our racial equity issues, and really starting to figure out how do we operate as a community that cares for each other on a neighbor-to-neighbor basis, on a block-by-block basis, so that it's not this anonymous world that we're living in that can start to generate these feelings of alienation, and this sense of desperation and then some sort of lash out that we've seen. And it's going to come back to that community-based discussion. We're not going to be able to police our way out. We're not going to be able to write tickets to get out of this kind of crime.
I would think that the neighborhood, yeah, that's what the old axiom, know your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Duh.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems pretty routine. Yeah, but I suppose it must not be, because that's something that people are talking about as a rediscovering of da 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 da. And it may be more difficult when you're in a rental neighborhood,
right?
And the kids are, you know, they're always spinning and spinning and spinning. You mentioned the racial thing. Do you sense we have that here?
I do sense that we have that here. I sense that, you know, even in Arcata, we would like to think that we don't, but we have a real changing demographic at the university. They are at least 50% now non-white students of color coming to the university. We had a forum with our economic development committee where students from the university came to talk about economic development around the student population. But a lot of the discussion that evening turned into services and housing discrimination concerns from our students of color on campus. So we do actually think that it is an issue locally here in Humboldt County and locally in Arcata, that we're starting to have some very real discussions about between the university and the business community and the city. So you will see several initiatives that are going to roll out. In fact, we've got one of our first public sessions coming up this Monday on racial equity. There'll be an hour and a half presentation on campus, and then in the evening at the Humboldt County Office of Ed, Sequoia Room here in Eureka, there will be an evening session on racial equality in the community, because I think it is a discussion that we need to open up in Arcata and throughout Humboldt County.
When you say housing, I think you just stop there.
Yeah.
There's just no
just
housing.
It
doesn't
matter
if you're black, white, purple, green. Yeah, there's no housing.
We have a housing shortage, too.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. But in a real...
Interesting.
In a real kind of landlord market, I think, you know, landlords in particular are, you know, looking for good long-term tenants. But we've definitely heard... So they can be picky. I mean, that's just been the case, you know, forever probably in Arcata. But the stories that we are starting to hear is that it is more difficult for a student or a faculty or a professor or somebody moving into this community, a family of color moving into this community, to find housing. So that is a sentiment that I think we need to talk about publicly and admit and focus on to make sure that all people feel comfortable living in and around Arcata.
Just Arcata? Interesting you're having your meeting in Eureka then, isn't it?
Well, we do want to expand out because we're working with the Humboldt Area Foundation and the College of the Redwoods and several other partners. But, you know, we would also, I would, because, you know, obviously representing the city of Arcata, want to focus on how do we start in a town the size of Arcata. You know, you feel like that is a nice size to start with, to figure out how could you have racial equality and start to create policies and programs that really are inclusive of everyone in your community. And that's economic levels too. It's not just race.
So what are the changes? When I was going through about probably, well, okay, in the early 80s, there were some Saudi kids that kind of hung together. And of course they were kind of throwing their money in front of everybody's faces, and that's what caused the tension. But Yeah. You know, I played ball with a bunch of the black kids and roomed with a bunch of them. Never had that sense. The Native American or the Indian, the tribal presence has always been around. So, is it the Asian population that is growing?
Predominantly more? Latino, Latina. HSU has done a lot of recruitment south of the Bay Area, so from San Diego to San Francisco. But I would say San Diego and Los Angeles County make up about 50% of their population. And I think they're at least 50%. Students of color and non-white students, and I think they are also 50% first-generation college students. So incoming freshman population, at least 50% of them had, you know, no family member or parent that went to college.
That's cool.
So it's, yeah.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30. We'll be back with more from Karen Deemer.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Deemer. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redek. Karen, the concept of community. You know, we talked a little bit about it as neighbors. Mm-hmm. Now, you guys have got some other things that are working that are trying to build this sense of community, whether it's activities or whether it's through regulation. What are some of the steps that the city is doing?
One of the current ones that the council is looking at right now, which would be good to get out to your listeners, is a potential restriction on the sale of butane. And butane is a gas that we've all commonly used in our camp stoves and to refill our lighters. but it is also used in much larger quantities for the production of hash oil as part of the marijuana cannabis industry.
And that's not part of what's going to be legal if recreational use comes to be.
We haven't. So on the medical side, the commercial medical side, we have been working with several permitters that are trying to do this oil extraction process. All of them that have come to the city so far are using a CO2 product to do that extraction.
The high-end stuff.
Yeah, none of them are coming requesting a permit for the use of butane in a commercial industrial setting. But again, our focus is if you are in a safe industrial commercial setting with the right up to the right codes and built to extract a product, whether it's cannabis or lavender or, you know, whatever your extraction is.
Yeah, it's funny how those two are now linked, isn't it?
It's the easy go-to. What we don't want is a bunch of butane canisters in our neighborhoods that are causing these explosions and these fires that we have seen really for probably a decade in Humboldt County. But the pictures just continue to grow in terms of the environmental contamination of just hundreds and thousands of these small canisters, because they're about the size of what you know, your camping canister. So they're like 10 point something ounces, 300 milliliter ounce containers. That are just thrown away by the thousands and often in huge illegal dump sites. But even more so, I think, is the devastation to the neighborhoods. I mean, just the sheer number of explosions that we've had in residential settings throughout this North Coast, but particularly in Humboldt County. And both of, I know Humboldt Bay Fire and I believe Arcata Fire has now taken a position. If they get on scene and they recognize there's butane associated with that fire, they're not sending personnel in because of the severe hazard associated with that. So the council is looking at restricting the sales. Several other communities in Northern California, Redding, actually Los Angeles as well, but we are looking at sort of the Redding, the Anderson, Red Bluff, several of the communities a little bit to the east of us have passed these ordinances that would restrict how much butane you could possess to two of these canisters. So of course, we still want you to be able to go camping and restrict how much you can purchase.
Let's take this stuff out in the woods where it's dry. Is that what you're saying?
And then bring it back and dispose of it properly. Yep.
Okay.
How much you can possess at any one time, how much you can buy in any particular 30 days. So it will require retailers to track their sales.
Do they get a break on that one, or is this just another level of regulatory cost that they have to deal with?
They don't get a break on it. It would be a tracking mechanism if they wanted to continue to sell butane that they would have to undertake. So they would have to ask for ID, and they would have to track the sales of their butane over time.
Bob Smith has been in often with a whole bunch of different addresses this week.
It is a really pervasive issue in our community, and I think it's, for the most part, the explosions have only injured the occupants of that unit, but in several cases, they have had to evacuate several units in an apartment complex and displace people.
Or take out the house and rock the neighborhood.
Right.
Depending on what the scale is.
Yeah. So that is one piece. Again, we're really looking at how do you refocus your residential sector groups to try to create some sense of community in your residential neighborhoods.
Is the city large enough, is the staff large enough to be able to respond to notification of goofiness? I was talking with a fellow yesterday, and he's out in the county area, but former deputy, so he kind of knew what he was doing, end of a cul-de-sac, one of the people adjacent were doing meth. Sun occupied. So it wasn't a total rental, but it was rental also. Year and a half before they could get out. Is there any mechanism? Is there anything that the cities can do to expedite? If there is one of these in the neighborhood, whether it's hash or whether it's meth or whatever the dealing is of whatever it is, it's getting people there all times of the day and night, to expedite whatever it is and come to a resolution in a compressed time frame, rather than this long, elongated, that's redundant, isn't it?
An elongated
legal process with serving and waiting and serving and waiting, and all that time, the neighborhood and the area continuing to suffer?
It never feels quick, I would say, response. And it's not so much whether we're big enough or whether we're small enough to be able to respond quickly. I think it really is the process set out through our legal system of requiring a certain amount of surveillance and warrant and evidence before you can actually get a search warrant or get a warrant to go in and investigate a particular unit. So I think that's really what takes the time. I'd say that, yes, we're large enough to have staff to respond, and we're small enough to have neighborhoods that report frequently. I think it is much harder to get away with that type of behavior in an urbanized setting, of course, because instead of one neighbor calling the police, you have four neighbors calling the police frequently. So your patrol level does pick up, certainly in an area, and it makes it less comfortable for them to operate that type of activity. But we certainly have at least a half a dozen homes, in our community that we receive regular calls on, that we visit regularly, but you can't prove evidence of illegal activity when you're there, and you don't have, probable cause to go in and search that premise.
The little trick that this one had, not that we're giving out clues and hints, but he had padlocked his door to his room. Oh, you've heard of this one before. Not this one, but
right.
Of this tactic.
This strategy,
Never mind. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Times, 842. We'll be back with more from Karen Deemer.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the shopping show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next shopping show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. Are you in the bridal party?
I'm the officiant, actually.
What does that mean?
I'll be performing her service.
You're the priest?
Yeah, well, officiant, we'll say.
I hate to tell you, but I'm not sure you're right there, yeah.
I just don't have the collar yet. A little more than that. No, I will never pretend to be that.
Good.
Yeah, that's my weekend plan for anyone that wants to know. Yeah.
Boy, you went red real quick on that one, too.
But there is a lot of other things that you can do this weekend besides attending my family's wedding.
nice shift, Karen.
Yeah, such as, it is actually in Arcata this weekend, the 43rd annual North Country Fair. So both Saturday and Sunday on the plaza, lots of good music, family activities, lots of great booths, and people should definitely come out and visit the North Country Fair. Annual All Species and the Samba Parade will both be performing as they do every year. So it should be a great weekend in Arcata.
Remember when the All Species Parade was really a weird thing?
Now it seems so middle of the road.
Yeah, it's like almost tame. I was thinking about that coming out of a meeting earlier this week when they had the dog and pony for the listing of the spotted owl. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and everybody's dressing up in their favorite Muppet costume is kind of what.
Good history.
And the regulators already had made up their minds, so it really was just a shuck and jive. And I was thinking, yeah, boy, that was really weird, we thought. Mm-hmm. We didn't think it was a harbinger. And now it really is, you know, with some of the protesting and some of the goofy stuff. It's funny how we get sucked into today and we forget any kind of historical perspective on things, whether it's 43 years of a special event or whether it's just even remembering that some of this stuff happened. So you're really doing the wedding, huh? Is that because you're looking at me like daggers? Well, you just want to shoot me now?
We'll get off air first.
Yeah. If you hear a gunshot, yeah, I'm not sure what the county rules are about concealed permits, but.
I certainly don't do weddings for a living, but I have been to help a family member.
Okay, well, that's cool. And it's not associated with the All Species Parade at all.
Well, we hope not, but we'll see.
Yeah. You know? Oh, boy. Next time we'll probably talk elections and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of fun not to this time.
Yeah. Nice to hold off. Yeah.
Yeah. All righty. We've been Talking Shop with Karen Diemer. Join us Monday morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.